welcome. Sit back, relax, for a little bit of reflection, introspection, and connection. Join us in our authentic chats about how we navigate this world as humans. Before we start, a big thank you to our sponsor, changeyourliferetreats.com, a place where you can start your path to authenticity. Find out more at changeyourliferetreats.com. Welcome to the Talking Minds podcast. I'm here with Paulina again. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so we're going to go a bit more deep today. We're not going to be talking about Starbucks and Costa like we did on the other episode, and mental masturbation and lazy liking. We're going to talk some proper stuff today.
Yeah.
But I think it's really, really important. I'll admit, I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about today. So I looked at what the top trending things that are going on in the world. And one of them was psychological safety, which really, really hits home in what we're trying to do in regards to transformation. And just before we started, we got into a really deep discussion, which we'll bring in. That's why we've got to press record now.
Yes, to capture.
Yeah, right. So I've read something online in Forbes. It says 77% of people are suffering workplace stress. Now, that's interesting because one of the statistics that comes up, I think it's in America, that 70% of people are doing jobs that they hate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was interesting is that 54% say that these kind of stresses in work also go into their lives. And for those that don't know, I have these four pillars. You need to know what you want, why you want it, your values and your boundaries, and then your environment. And psychological safety is about your environment. And so I want to delve into really a lot of the misconceptions around well-being and really how we improve human performance. Because if you're listening to this, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say this again. And actually, Pauline, I'm going to say it. See what your reaction is to this. Okay, so tune into your body now and tell me which kind of feels more dynamic and powerful. Well-being, mental health, human optimization.
They bring a lot of different emotions.
Yeah. So go through it. Tell me, as you look at that, well-being, mental health, human optimization, tell me kind of how what your body was reacting to those three words. Because the last one we don't really talk about. The other
yes.
Thing we don't. Go.
So for me, well-being, since I've been in the industry for a very long time, it brings peace, well-being, something that's calm and nice and relaxing. When it comes to mental health, it brings a lot of stress because it's associated with some disease maybe, or some kind of chaos, or some kind of pressure to perform and think. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that brings that kind of stress environment when you have to think, when you have to perform. And the last one, which is human performance, sounds very robotic. It sounds like AI. It's like you becoming the best version of yourself, but you're designed by AI.
Okay. Now, I think this is fascinating. So you're very much in the feminine, right? So I'm in the masculine. Mm-hmm. Word association. I feel like there's a thing in James Bond where he does this. It's a psychology. He says a word and he says something like well-being. My response to that is bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Mental health. Bullshit. Human performance. An opportunity to do something great.
Mm.
Now that makes sense because, and I think this is one of the biggest challenges that we have with psychological safety in the world, is that, as I've said this a million times, 80% of people who are in the wellbeing industry are female, 80% of people accessing it are female, and 76% of suicides are men.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is that what we do a lot is that because women generally would be deemed as the caring people, okay, looking after people, and men tend to be more action orientated.
Mm-hmm.
It makes perfect sense where you would feel comfortable in that word well-being, because that's what women do. Women do well-being. They're brilliant at well-being. They're caring and they're creative. They're nurturing. Whereas men are just Luddites. Generally, we're action orientated. We want to do something. We're out there with our spears hunting and
Sword.
providing, like, yeah, sword, right? So it's this is where, when it comes to psychological safety, I think it's really, really important, because we don't take into account the needs of what people actually are required of in a business. So if we look at that from a business context, is it a business's job to create a space for well-being? I
It
would say
is.
no, but I would say no. But I would say it's a business's responsibility to create psychological safety.
True. However, I think we have to reframe it. We have to see how we are perceiving the word, because the word well-being has association. You know, if you Google it or put into ChatGPT, it'll give you the description of the word, right? Or the meaning. I think it's very important to understand what is it for the individual. When I'm thinking well-being in an organization, I'm thinking more time with their family, shorter hours, becoming more productive, maybe working 4 days instead of 5 days. Like in Europe, we have a longer time off, right, than in America, for example. Activities, group activities, you know, bonding experiences. That's what I'm thinking about well-being.
Now, that's really interesting, the last one, because the last one, for me, well-being is come and listen to this talk about mindfulness. Come and do some breath work. Come and do. Now, for me, I remember this. I'll tell you a funny story on this. So there's an organization called Police Care, right? And they're supposed to champion well-being in the police. And I remember going to a meeting, and me being me just opened my mind. But they were going, and we've created these well-being hubs in police stations where people can go and contemplate and sit down, right? And I remember there was a couple of guys sat next to me who were kind of, there was a couple of armed response guys, a couple of traffic guys in there. And excuse my French, everyone, I'm about to swear. Put my hand up and went, I didn't have time to fucking eat. Never mind. So who are the people that are using these well-being jobs? Because well-being rooms, because they're not clearly not doing any fucking work. So what then happens is that all these people are spending all their time doing well-being, means that the people that are actually then having to cover that work, their well-being is going downhill. So this is why I say I don't believe it's any company's responsibility to provide services like that. Within the workday. But I absolutely agree with you that it's about productivity. It's about purpose.
Yes.
It's about connection. It's about the fact that a big one that I've been really digging into at the moment, personally, there was the word loneliness. Sometimes you can be surrounded by lots of people in a work environment, and I was saying this word lonely. I feel lonely, but I wasn't lonely. Does that make sense?
Yes, you were surrounded actually by people, probably a lot of them.
People, and I was connecting to them. I didn't feel lonely. And it was something that we'd done, and the word changed. And the word was excluded. I went, Now, if we look at well-being within the workplace, okay, and psychological safety, if we only have one narrative of well-being, which is, unfortunately, it's normally led by a group of women.
Yeah.
You know, it is, because that's the narrative, right?
Because, like you said, we're nurturer.
We're nurturing.
This comes from the family as a mother, or, you know.
So, but actually, when we look at family units, when we look at nurturing, we know statistically that when you've got a balanced family, a man and a woman, actually, I'm gonna upgrade that. It's not just a man and a woman. If it's a gay relationship or whatever it is, if you've got a balanced energy of masculine and feminine, so let's say, for example, you've got two lesbians, and one is predominantly more in their masculine, you know, very logical focus, and then one is more caring, it's the same thing. So again, this is not about penises and vaginas, it's all about energy. So when you have a balance within, say, well-being, where you have men, a man and a woman, or that masculine and feminine energy, then the well-being will be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've done is that we go, oh, well-being is done by women, so we'll pass it over to women. So whether you're a man or a woman, if you are more kind of masculine, a go-getter, now don't get me wrong, meditation is the most fucking powerful
mm-hmm. thing.
Breath work, the most powerful thing in the world.
Yeah.
That is something that, you know, people need to know, but you have to create an environment and space for people to do that. Now, should they be doing that in work? Probably not. It should be part of their daily routine, whether that's when
they're in
the morning or when they do it at night, or if they're doing their lunch break. You know, simple things like forcing people to take a lunch break. You will take an hour off.
Yeah. But I also feel that any organization, or, you know, a manager or leader should start talking to people. What do they value in life? So, for example, maybe for one person, meditation is a great reset. Like for me, I can really shift my energy with a short meditation. For some people, it can be a walk in the park. It can be, you know, a cycling or spinning class. I don't know. For other person, it can be a nice meal, you know?
And it could be this. Thank you for that work you did. I really appreciate it.
Mm.
I've noticed that you're working really, really hard. And I don't want you to get burnt out. So I'm giving you the afternoon off.
Mm.
But what happens? What happens to somebody who's working really, really hard? And then somebody who's not working really, really hard. They're doing the same hours, but productivity-wise, there's no bonus. And it's if somebody has time off, if you were to give somebody time off to say you're doing a great job, take half a day off and you don't need to come in because you're doing a great job, then HR get involved and go, yes, well, they're mandatory hours, da 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 da, and they shouldn't be doing that, and we should. I remember being a manager when I was at Shrewsbury School. I was a network manager, and one of the guys there, he was grumpy as sin, right? Honestly, bloody grumpy as sin, my senior technician. But his mum was out in Spain and got ill and hadn't got medical care out there. And she was like properly ill. And so I just said to him, I said, hey, go. He said, yeah, but I haven't got that much leave. I said, I don't care, go. We'll come. Mm. Spoke to the team and said, this is what, you know, you've got to take some time off, go. And I remember having a conversation with, he said, but what, I said, I won't tell HR. We'll just say that, you know, you're not around. Nobody's going to know.
Wow.
And he said, yeah, but what? But won't you get in trouble? I said, I don't care. Anyway, eventually he had to take some time off. And I just said to HR, you know, listen, we need to give him some time off to do this. So they were going through the paperwork. And I went, I need to go through the paperwork. I said, he's going to have the time off. It's special leave. Yeah, but you're only allowed so many hours of special leave, or so many days of special leave. I said, I think your policy says it's at the manager's discretion. I'm his manager. You're not his manager. And I am telling you this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it is happening. And the work will get done because we've spoken to the team and the whole of the team have said, we can get this done. We'll cover it. We were very efficient as a department, right? Yeah, there were some things that projects that we might not be doing. But I knew that by allowing him to be able to go and deal with that, and not feel any guilt, any shame.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard. He was grumpy as fuck, but he was a really, really good guy. He was good at his job. And he was grumpy because he hadn't really been given that, what I would call love.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at that and went, you're really hardworking. I can see that you've been oppressed for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is all happening. Now, what was really interesting was that after that period, he managed to get his mum back to the UK. Unfortunately, she passed away.
Mm.
His relationship with me, his relationship with the team, and his relationship with the work was completely different.
Mm.
Why? Because he knew that his direct manager had his back. And the biggest problem, especially in the workforce, is we do not have leaders. We do not have people
who
turn around to HR and go, no, I am responsible for this team. And if this team fails, then the responsibility lies with me.
Mm.
And in the workplace, people don't leave jobs, they leave people. And unfortunately, when it comes to well-being, then well-being and human, that's why I prefer human performance, right? I know it sounds a bit AI, I do get it, but is how can we allow people to be the best version of themselves? And yes, we have a job and we know how to do that, but like with well-being, it's very veneered. We kind of go, here's a box, and your well-being, you've got to fit into that. And it's all about communication and say, well, what does well-being look like for you? Sometimes it's, I can't give myself a permission to go on a lunch break. Because we're more driven to getting the job done, because we're in fear, say, as a manager or a leader to a shareholder or whatever. But this is where we're losing the divine masculine in society. And I don't mean that from a man or a woman. Brilliant leaders create psychological safety. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. And they can be loving and empathetic, and they can bring the feminine in to hold somebody, but also then create the masculine around that to make that very logical. And often for me, well-being is more of an escape rather than responsibility. And I think that that's why a lot of people don't move into well-being, because I think there's two narratives. There's this, let's escape into well-being and do yoga and meditate and disappear out of the world, right? And not connect with the world, and we'll go over here. And then you've got the other people, this patriarchal energy over here that's just trying to smash everything and greed and all the rest of it. But there is a sweet spot in the middle that goes, you're a human, I'm a human, let's have a conversation. And so I think that if we're gonna use the word well-being, it's like anxiety, right? We've talked about this before. Well-being is now Google, it's Uber, it's become mental health. It's become this word that actually doesn't have any substance to it.
Yeah, I think it's abused. But I also feel that's the reason why we created Change Your Life retreats, to show people that there is a different way, and kind of like embodying the well-being, but also creating connections, creating the environment that's supporting and loving, and you feel that you are safe. And that's what we're showing, talking about those things, and also and having
the whole reason, wasn't it, why we did it? And I agree with you. The whole concept of Change Your Life retreats, and the retreat that we're doing in April, link is in here if you want to come and join us in Pennsylvania. There are still positions open. But this is the thing, is this, we noticed this kind of not psychological safety, English. And it was, you have to take responsibility for knowing what well-being is for you. So on that retreat, are we going to be doing yoga? Yes. Are we going to be doing breathwork? Yes. Because they are.
We also have, a lot of workshops and other.
We're going to be doing workshops to the why. So I think this leads into, most people kind of go, what they want to do. They know well-being is important, right?
Yeah.
And there's a narrative of how you do that. But nobody asks, why are we doing that? And I think when we look at well-being strategies within businesses, it becomes more of a tick box. It says, oh, we need to do well-being. But the people who are making those decisions, your HR departments, whatever, HR departments, they are the opposite of well-being. A HR department's job is to protect the company, not the employees. So you've got a HR department who are the people that are running well-being, and they are the very opposite of what the people who are running well-being should be. Your well-being people need to be the ones that are informing HR. And normally the people that are running well-being are people that maybe are into yoga, they're into their personal well-being, they've gone through their own traumas and they've done stuff. But normally they're not professionals that are doing it on a proper level. So when we outsource well-being, what we tend to do is we'll go to an EAP, an employee assistance program, which is really just counseling. It's somebody just on the end of a phone. And we know from the work that we do is that well-being, trauma release, understanding yourself, it's not about verbalizing the outside, it's verbalizing the inside. It's getting in the body.
Yeah.
And I think we should move on to that spirituality thing that we talked about, because again, another word that's been hijacked. You know, for me, spirituality is purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But we know, and anybody who's listening to this that truly understands spirituality, spirituality isn't going on a yoga retreat and meditating and going, oh, the world is amazing.
Zen.
It's called spiritual bypassing.
Yeah.
You want to know what real spirituality is? Spirituality is sitting in the darkness of yourself, getting really, really confused, feeling like you don't belong here, feeling like the best thing you could do is end your life, that there's all this energy in your body that's stuck, it feels nauseous, sick, it's fucking horrible. That is spirituality.
Yeah.
And through that journey of that darkness and that pain, you will get a glimpse of consciousness. You'll get this relief. Okay, so this bullshit that 99% of well-being is based on, you know, 99% of courses
mm-hmm.
that people go on, self-help courses and all that, they're all bullshit, because the truth of the matter is that to really discover your purpose, you have to get rid of all the shit that's been piled on you.
But I feel also it's about taking action, and I've done a lot of self-help programs, and I have many books. I have the whole shelf.
Yeah, me too.
You can get inspired. You can learn something. You can read about someone who had an amazing story, but very often people don't take action. That's the first thing. The second thing, they don't have accountability partner, which is super important, because one day you want to do it, the other day you don't want to do it. You know how it works. You know, having that right environment that's supportive, that's, you know, kind of like helping you through the process to go through this transformation and transition. Transformation is not easy. I've been there many times, constantly dying and being born again with every breath, right?
Yeah.
So having the right environment, having that support, having, you know, that system in place. I don't want to sound corporate, but system in a way, some kind of structure that can help you, you know, navigate when you feel lost, confused, and vulnerable, right? That's super important.
And that's psychological safety. So psychological safety is the ability to have the courage to be vulnerable, to shed off the things that you thought you had, and know that somebody's got your back. And generally, managers, I know this is a podcast, so I'm quoting.
Air quote.
Yeah, air quote. So leaders, the word leader, again, is another one. What is a leader? A leader is a coach. A leader is a mentor. A leader is somebody who stands by you and goes, it doesn't matter if you fuck up, I've got you. That is what a leader is. That's psychological safety. It's somebody who goes, I am going to allow you to fail. Now, there's a big difference here when people fail all the time. You know, failure for the first time is a lesson. Failure the second time, the same thing, is a choice. So that you do have to have that structure around there. But we don't. Psychological safety is the ability to allow people to explore and fail, and know that they can learn through that process. And most people won't take action. So most well-being in businesses and corporate cultures is more spiritual bypassing. It's more, we're not dealing with the root cause of the problem. What we're doing is we're going, oh, you're not feeling very well. Okay, we'll go and spend some time away, and we'll teach you some breath, do some mindfulness, and think about your thoughts, and maybe journal that down. Oh, brilliant. Don't get me wrong. Journaling, fantastic. Breath work is fantastic. But unless you've created the environment where people understand why they're doing that and how they can become emotionally aware of themselves and others.
But I also feel like, because I worked in corporation, and I know that when corporation is telling you to do something, sometimes you're doing this because of fear, or you need to do this for many other reasons, and you don't really understand what you're doing. So there's no intention of healing yourself or helping yourself or finding yourself in a better place after doing it. You're just doing it because everyone is doing it, the pressure is on. And that's it.
And that's the same with well-being, right? It's kind of, we go in there. I remember, here's another example when I was in the police.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a course about communication. okay? And I remember it now because I just remember all the police officers, like proper coppers who were on the front line. And the person delivering this had never been a police officer, right? And it was very woke, and it was very, if you're going to speak to somebody, do not use these words and speak to them in this way. And I remember one of the bobbies turned around and he went, if I was working in X area and I spoke to somebody like that, they would fucking put a knife out on me and stab me.
Yeah.
He said, however, if I was to say to this person, oi, dickhead, get over here right now, they go, all right, cop, what do you want? Because the language that's used within that environment is this. So we do have a lot of people that give well-being advice, but they don't understand the environment, and we don't talk enough about psychological safety and how that is in that environment. So if we're in a boardroom, the psychological safety in a boardroom might be different than it is on a factory floor. The psychological safety, if I'm in an aesthetics clinic, would be different. The psychological safety, if I was in a yoga studio, would be different. But what we do is we don't think about, well, what does psychological safety look like in our company? This comes down to mission statements and values. A lot of companies have mission statements and values. I speak to so many CEOs and coach so many people at that level that tell me that they've got this mission statement and values. And I just ask one question. Why should people give a shit? Do you drive, does everything that you drive in your company, is that driven through the mission statements and values? So if you've got a challenging employee and HR are trying to get rid of them, are they running through those mission statements and values? Is the employee running through those mission statements and values? Are you understanding the environment in which that person is?
Yeah.
And are the mission statements and values actually correct? You know, that's psychological safety, because what somebody interprets a value or a mission statement as might not be encoded. So have people somatically understood that? Great companies have a purpose that's bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
Everybody's behind that, and everybody will drive towards achieving it, because I think, you know, Grant Cardone.
Mm-hmm.
So Grant Cardone was saying about this. And somebody asked him, he's obviously built million pound businesses, and he talks a lot about money. And he was saying about his employees, and he's got a very, very small turnover. And so somebody asked him, said, you know, how are you making all of this money and retaining all of your staff? And he said, well, I pay all of my staff 50% over the market rate. And if they're doing well, I pay them a bonus on top of that. He said, yeah, but what about your profit margins? He said, I don't care about my profit margins. He said, if I look after my staff and I look after the people that work for me, I pay them above the average rate, they're going to stay with me and they're going to work harder because they know that I'm looking after them. So I share the wealth. And because I'm sharing the wealth, I make more money. It's very, very simple. Yeah. It's not difficult. Because if I've created a business that's psychologically safe and people are there because of the purpose and they feel that they're connected to something bigger than them. And again, when we talk about psychological safety, people might say, oh yeah, but we're a family. It's like,
oh yeah.
Fucking hills. If any business is going, we're a family, they're psychologically manipulating you. They are not.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, they sometimes regret that they have their own family, because, you know, there's a lot of drama inside. And then
if you think about that, it's a nonsense, isn't it? When we think about our families, unless we're very, very lucky.
Yeah,
everybody will go, my family's fucking screwed.
I know, it's like, you look good.
Family. So any company that goes, we're like a family, I don't want to work for you. If it was, we're a company that's trying to make big change in the world, and we're doing it like this, and these are our values, and this is what we do.
Yeah.
And you can go, you are an employee. You're a battery in our system, but we're going to make sure that you are fully charged every single day.
And that's really important. I feel those are true leaders of the future, who are creating that environment for their employees, right?
It's not taught. It's not taught and it's not understood, because actually what we look at well-being, if we use that battery thing, is we go, how many hours can we get out of these people on a single charge?
Oh, yeah.
And either we will give them a bit of time to recharge and come back, and then we'll rag them again. Or once the battery is completely run out, then we know that they'll just leave and we'll just get another battery.
That's true. And that's pretty sad. That's why I don't really like corporate world for that reason, because it's a numbers game. It's a rat race. Majority, I'm not saying all of them, because now I'm working with a different company that's has a different values. It's a more creative and it has a different structure. But I do feel that majority of businesses are looking at employees as batteries, and they want to give them some perks, the well-being, to charge them up so they can exploit them more.
And I think, I don't think they're doing that purposefully. By the way, I don't think that is a purposeful thing. I think the US is probably worse than that. And I think that the US is quite an interesting place, because when we look at the US externally, people kind of go, "Oh, the US," and you get all the, you know, I'm earning $150,000 a year. But actually, when you look at what $150,000 means, it means no paid holiday.
But it also depends on the area where you are. Like New York has, oh my gosh, California and New York, there are two states that have very high taxes. So people who are working in New York, they might be making $150, but in fact, they might be getting like $4,000 or $5,000 per month out of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's so much to cover that the numbers are big, but the costs are big. So you make a lot, but you're also paying a lot. So it's not, you know, it looks good, but it's...
Or you're then working harder and all the rest of it. So I think this thing about psychological safety is about being able to create an environment where we shouldn't need well-being in the workplace. If you are really focusing on well-being as this thing that when people are burnt out, they can go here.
Mm-hmm.
You've got well-being wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it should not be a separate part. It shouldn't be a room that you go to. Well-being shouldn't be a place you go to. Well-being should be, how can we optimize our workforce as humans? And I use that, I know that that's what we want, right? Employees are tools. When you are a CEO, you're a tool in that business. You're that's part true. Of the mechanics of that business that's creating a service. And if you were to think of a business as a machine, well, if you keep it well oiled, if you clean it, if you give it time to rest, it will go on for longer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like horses, isn't it? You have race. I'll take, for example, a household cavalry in London. So the people that ride the horses with the shiny hats on. Those horses are in the city. But mm-hmm. every summer, the horses have downtime and go into the countryside and become horses and run around and roll in mud and do all that sort of stuff, right? They're really, really well cared for horses. The people that look after them really look after them when they're working. That's why they can do what they do, because the horse has psychological safety.
Yeah.
You know, most working animals, certainly in the military and in the police, get looked after better than the humans.
That's true.
Because they want to work. The horse wants to work. The dog wants to work. And all it needs to be able to perform is the psychological safety. And when it has the psychological safety, if we take police dogs, for example, you know, police dog handlers love their dogs more than their families.
Because they're spending more time with them.
I know, because I wanted to but that's why... Yeah, and that's why those police dogs, when it comes down to them protecting their handlers, they will give their lives, because the handler will give themselves life. So they've got this bond of psychological safety where the dog has the time to work, but it has the time to play. And this is why we need to really do more around this, to look at well-being in the workplace. As I think we need to change that word and say, does my workplace create psychological safety?
Yes.
Do I feel psychologically safe in the place that I work? And we can transpose that into the family. Do I feel psychologically safe in my home? And I don't mean abuse or anything like that, but are we spending time to connect? Are we spending time to be present with each other? Or are we just going to work, coming home, eating, doing this, doing that? You know, going to the gym. When I'm in the gym and I'm working out, am I present? When I'm doing yoga, am I present?
Yeah.
Am I having fun? Am I enjoying it? Or am I just doing it because people tell me that's what I need to do?
Yeah, it's a hamster wheel, right? You're just spinning with force.
And how many people do you know that buy courses after courses after courses on well-being? We book.
Oh, I know. I was that person for years. I stopped it. I stopped the cycle because now I'm being more practical. I'm practicing things. I read only from time to time. I don't need that much knowledge anymore because I didn't process the one I gained over the last 15 years. And it's, you know, people are saying that the new thing is coming. It's all the same. When you really read those books, they all the same. They're just created in a way to tell you that they're different. Obviously, the author is different. The story is different. At the end of the day, the message is pretty much the same.
The message is pretty much the same, which is about being present. It's about, like I said, what I call, I'm saying, my four pillars of success. They're not new.
I know.
A little bit of a spin on it. What do you want? Why do you want it? What are your values? And how can you create boundaries and communicate your needs in an environment which is safe? But as I always say, environment, 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 both internally and externally,
yes,
are those things. So we need to change that narrative around well-being to say, is my company a place of psychological safety on all levels? So is it psychologically safe in regards to the person doing their job? Is it psychologically safe in regards to our communications? Is it psychologically safe? And I think we've gone the other way now in regards to you're not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to have an opinion on anything.
Yeah.
So workplaces and the world is becoming less psychologically safe because you can't have an opinion.
I mean, yeah, I think in America it's even worse. I don't know how it's in the UK. So probably, you know, where I'm right now in Poland, we have to be careful what we're saying. Not everywhere you can say anything or everything.
See, this is really funny because with my wife, well, you can't say that. And I said, I can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying those things, but, you know, I don't have that many friends after.
And that's the thing, right? So we will... That's a beautiful point, because what we'll do is we will get rid of our own psychological safety. We will step out of our true authentic self, because if we do that from a loving point, and we say COVID is a great example of this. So I'll give you an example of COVID. So when COVID came out, of course, yes, it was a horrible thing that came out. People were dying. I'm not saying any of that. But I made a choice that I didn't have the vaccine. Okay, now I'm not saying that I'm against anybody that had a vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm not against anybody. It's personal choice. But I remember when I made that choice of not to have the vaccine, the amount of people, friends and family,
yes,
that attacked me for not having it.
Yes.
And I said to them, well, just wait a minute. Why do I need to have it? Oh, well, if you don't have it, you'll kill people. I said, right, okay, let's just look at this. My body will naturally build up an immune system against it anyway. That's all the vaccine is doing, is it's building an immune system up. It's noticing that that's something foreign and we deal with it. Now, I've done the study. I've had a look at all of the evidence around this so far that people know about, okay? Not just the stuff that the politicians and the newspapers, I'm looking at all of it. And the chances of me, you know, it didn't matter whether you had a vaccine or not, you could still pass it on. And I knew that anyway, because that's true, because the vaccine doesn't stop you
passing
it on, right? So I knew that anyway, so that was a nonsense argument. But what was really interesting was that I know people who had the vaccine and then got COVID afterwards and were really, really ill for 10 days, 12 days, 20 days, got long COVID. Now, I had COVID three times. The third time that I got rid of it in 3 days. I remember my mother-in-law saying to me, how have you got rid of it in 3 days? And I said, well, quite simply, I created the environment in my body. And I told my body, you know what this is. I use meditation. I use natural things like lemon, ginger, reishi. I was allowing my body to create an environment where my body was strong and my body was fighting it in a natural way. And I got rid of it in 3 days.
Nice. See, but that's the environment.
Responsibility for my psychological environment. But unfortunately, people get bullied into saying this is the only way and they don't feel they have a voice.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you for that. I think that's a great closing, you know, kind of like a statement of taking charge of your environment and creating that safety and security for yourself first when you go to the company or the organization. That's probably something that might take longer to receive that.
But
you have that choice to create that within you. Right?
So I think the question we can leave people with is this, is you have to be responsible to understand what psychological safety means to you and then be able to communicate that. And if that's something that you're struggling with, then let us know. And as I say, this podcast is sponsored by Change Life Retreats. We are going to be creating a space of psychological safety where you can explore that if it's something that you're struggling with. So pop over to changeyourliferetreats.com. I think the early bird offer is still on there. We've still got a few places left for the April retreat. And come over and we'll teach you what psychological safety is and how you can build that into your company. And if you're a CEO, if you're a C-suite leader, but if you're just a normal employee, you have to understand what well-being means to you, what psychological safety means to you. And it's all about taking that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you expect other people to do it for you, you'll just get the default. And the default
is that's true.
So that was a bit of a deep one today.
Yeah.
We're trying to do something a little bit more lighthearted at last time. But please like, share, drop a comment in. And get in contact with us. Let us know what were your thoughts around psychological safety. And is this something that we need to be focusing more on rather than the word well-being? So thank you for joining us. And we will see you next time.
Yes.